Turn, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29. Our point to ponder today is verse 18. Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse 18. The Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. Yea, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." If you have sat under my ministry any length of time, then you know that I place a strong emphasis upon the Word of God. I have taught you that you should spend time in the Bible, that you should read it on a regular basis and hear it taught and preached. I have said that if you wish to grow as a Christian, then you must love the Word and learn the Word. Of course, not only should you be aware of what it says, you should also apply the principles found there. That is, you need to live the Word. You might reject the Bible or neglect the Bible, but if you do so to your own detriment. I would therefore once again profess unto you to take heed to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The point for us to ponder might not at first seem to apply to this subject, but I am absolutely convinced that it does. I also believe it confirms the same message I have repeatedly declared. So let us proceed and see whether or not I am right, and whether or not your response to the word of God makes any difference. So out of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the title of the message is, "Without the Word." Without the Word. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being back in your house. And Lord, we pray that you bless your word as it goes forth, that just speak to our hearts. We pray for those that could not be with us due to sickness and providential hindrance, that you would bless them and heal the sick. We pray for the bereaved, that you would comfort them. And now as we've come back to honor you through the Word, that you've heard our songs of praise and you've heard our prayers, Lord, I pray that as the Word goes out today, just work it into our hearts by your Spirit. We ask if there's any in our midst that are lost, that they might be saved, and we who are saved might be strengthened and be encouraged. And so we commit this time to you today, and we honor you with it. We pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 is my text. "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let's consider this text. First of all, I'd like to say to you that I have heard this verse misapplied. In fact, one of the best messages I have ever heard, I even had it on tape at that time, is about 25, 30 years ago, and I heard the message. The missionary used this text, and he used the first part of the text, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And what an excellent evangelistic message it was. And a good message. And I'm sure that the idea can be applied in that regard, that if you don't have a vision for people and a heart for the lost, that, you know what, they will go on their merry way and they will end up under the judgment and the wrath of God and in a place called hell. That is absolutely true, but that is not the verse. When I read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish," though it may make an evangelistic theme, it is not what the verse is saying, and we propose to teach you what the verse does indeed say. And so that's our point today, that as we look at this verse, we will understand that this really involves the Word of God. And so we want to rightly divide the word of truth. What we'll find as you've looked at this verse, as we've read it a couple times already, that there is a contrast in this verse that really helps us define this verse. And you'll see it there in that word "but." And since we have in the middle of that verse the word "but," and we have a phrase before and we have a phrase afterward, well, we see that in contrast. So what I would like to do is begin with the second phrase. I'm going to start at the last part of the verse and work backwards. So let's notice the last part of the verse. "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So we find right away, as Solomon writes, and he speaks this phrase which we have in this sentence in this text, that this involves the law of God. Go with me, if you will, just momentarily to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This entire psalm deals with the Word of God, the Bible as we would call it, but the law of God. And just for an example, I would invite you to look into the first 8 verses. Psalm 119, Solomon writes and he talks about the law. Now in Psalm 119, in verse 1, down through verse 8, listen. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. The law of God. And the psalmist here, well, we see so many synonyms in regard to the law of God. Verse 2 calls them the testimonies. Verse 3 states as His ways. Verse 4, the precepts. Verse 5, His statutes. Verse 6, Thy commandments. Verse 7, Thy righteous judgments. And so you see that the Word of God is a very important issue. And you look into our text, and the last part of verse 18 says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So we're thinking about the law of God, His precepts, His statutes, however you want to define it. Now, Solomon writes here, he is talking about the intent, and that is the matter of keeping the law. Now, the word keep in the text means, actually, it's properly the word means to hedge about. Therefore, it is to guard. And so it may be implied or spoken of as to protect or to attend to. But you'll see this word translated as circumspect or take heed, to keep, to observe, to preserve, to watch, or even to be a watchman. And so you get the idea behind this word to keep. So happy is he that keepeth the law. Yeah, you're going to be happy if you keep the law. So when we think about the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God, well, we ought to desire not just to have or possess it, but also to keep it and to be very much aware of it, to observe it, to protect it, to keep it, to fulfill it, to be a watchman. And so let us be on guard about the Word of God. Now, certainly, when we look at the text and he says, but happy he that keepeth the law, happy is he, this certainly implies the presence of the Word. It's kind of hard to keep it if you don't have it and if you're not aware of it. And so happy is he if you will keep these things. And so it's necessary, and we think about the presence of the Word of God. And the result then, the last part of the verse tells us that they'll be happy. And the word happy means exactly that. It's a happiness. The word will be translated as blessed or to be happy. And so, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. One other thing about this last part of the verse, and that is, I believe that there's a general or a universal application. And I say that because he says, he that. He that. It's not a Jew, it's not a Gentile, it's not the old or the young or the intelligent or the unintelligent. It's all of them. He that. It really makes no difference who you are. He that. And so no one can sit under the sound of my voice or read a verse like this and say, that doesn't belong to me, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. He that. And so it's a general application. The last part simply is telling us that if you keep the law of God, then you're going to be obedient to God. And if you're obedient to God, then you will be happy. Isn't it amazing that there's some in our society that says, well, if I do whatever the Bible says, I won't be happy. And my life will be miserable. And people think that the commandments of God are grievous. And they're not intended to be grievous. And they're not a taskmaster. We love the Lord our God. He has given us peace, as we spoke about this morning. And so we'll be happy if we are found in obedience to God. So the last part of the verse is very simple, isn't it? Very clear. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. However, we had that word in the middle, that contrasting but. Now that but reveals the opposite idea, does it not? And so if we're thinking about the last part of the verse, that those who are obedient to God are happy, then in contrast to that, we can conclude that those who are disobedient to God are unhappy. That makes sense. As a matter of fact, let's just kind of read the verse this way. Let's invert the text. I am not violating the truth of the verse in doing so. But listen to it. Look at it this way. The last part first. He that keepeth the law, happy is he, but where there is no vision, the people perish. Isn't that what he says, just in reverse order? And so you see that there's a distinction between the last part and the first part, and they both involve the Word of God. Now, I want to prove that to you by looking at the first part. Here it says, the beginning of the verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we see right away, we have this word vision. And the word that Solomon uses here means sight, but it's a mental sight. Therefore, the word is thought of as the idea of a dream or a revelation, an oracle. Have you heard that word before? And so this word is translated here, vision. And we know that in the Old Testament scriptures and sometimes in the New Testament before the Word of God was completed, that God would give His prophets visions, a mental sight, a revelation. And so they would know something that they didn't know before. They would speak the Word of God as God revealed it to their heart. And so the prophets, that's what they did in their ministry as they preached. They proclaimed the Word of God that they received in visions as God revealed the truth to them. That's the word for vision here, where there is no vision. Now you say, well, that word would certainly apply to the evangelistic thrust of what you've heard the missionary make application. And I would grant you that sort of a vision may well imply that concept here, but it doesn't fit the context of the verse. When I look at the word vision, it means exactly that, where there is no vision, but the verse defines it as something further than that. Specifically, however, within this passage, we find the absence of a vision. Not just a matter of a vision, but that there is no vision. Where there is no vision. And so what would that mean? If this word, and I'm correct in applying this word to the revelation of God, to the prophets as they spoke the Word of God, then if there is no vision, then what we have is the Word of God is not present. The prophets aren't speaking. God's not revealing. And so the people do not hear. Turn, if you would, back to Lamentations, the second chapter. Do you understand that in the history of the Jewish nation, that there was a great length of time from Malachi to Matthew where God was silent? Very little revelation going on. Very little prophesying going on. There was just not much vision that was being declared. Now in Lamentation chapter 2, and Jeremiah writes in reflection to the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, and the city was destroyed. He's brokenhearted and all that. But notice the statement that's found in chapter 2 and in verse 9 as he describes the destruction of Jerusalem. In that description, he says, pick it up there in verse 9, her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. What happened? Turn, if you will, over to the book of Amos. Book of Amos. Give you a chance to get over there. Amos chapter 8. What happened? God, when He brought judgment upon Jerusalem, the people were carried away into captivity. Jeremiah writes and says, the prophets do not have a vision. The preachers were gone. The messages were silent. There was no revelation. Now our verse, Solomon says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Over in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, notice the prophecy of Amos. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, notice, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Go back to our passage in Proverbs chapter 29. And I submit unto you, my friend, that when Solomon writes and he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. He is making reference to the word of God, where the prophets of God have fallen silent and the people want to hear, but it's not being spoken. And again, there was that dry spell from Malachi till John the Baptist. And there just wasn't much going on. And so the Word of God is not present where there is no vision. As a matter of fact, you may well apply that perhaps even if they had the Word of God, but the prophets were not speaking, it still just works out to be the same. Because nobody's hearing the Word. And so what is the result? If we look at the first half of this verse, there is no vision. The result of the law not being kept is the people perish. Well, they have no vision, so they cannot keep it. As a result of not keeping it, they perish. Where there is no vision, no word of God, the people perish. Now that is indeed a fact in an evangelistic statement that people who do not hear the Word of God will not be saved. They do not know the truth, they will not believe. That is absolutely accurate. But when this statement here is about the vision, it's not a vision for the lost and the burden and compassion for them. It is the Word of God that has dried up and these people will not hear. They have not heard. And as a result of that, without a vision, the people will perish. The word perish means to loosen. The idea behind that is that means to absolve. So it is to be set at naught or to perish. It's interesting that the Greek, and when the word destroy in the Greek language, is the word begins with the word loose. To loose or destroy. In the Hebrew, it's the same concept. It is to loose, is to perish. And so he says, without a vision, the people will perish. Now I submit unto you, this is true whether it's knowingly or unknowingly. By that I mean, knowingly is with the law. If people can hear the law, they have the law, but they will not respond to the law, what will happen? They will perish. They will perish. Multitudes around our society hear the law on a regular basis. They hear the Word of God preached. They sit under the declaration of the gospel. And they know, but they do not repent. They do not believe. And so they are disobedient to God. They will not bow the knee to Jesus Christ. They will not obey the Word. And so they are perishing. Without a vision, the people perish. Without the Word, even if you have it in possession, you are aware of it. If you do not respond to it, you will perish. But certainly the idea behind the text is the unknowing factor. Where there is no vision, where there is no law, what will happen? The people will perish. What daunting words when we read there that he said, I will send a famine. I can almost see part of that happening in the United States of America. As time progresses, I mean, there are still many who will stand and hold the truth. In no case and in no form am I acting like I'm the only one. Absolutely not. But as we've gone down through the years, I think we all can agree that the true preaching of the Word of God has diminished. And it's getting weaker and weaker as time progresses. And it's almost like God is sending a famine of the Word in the United States of America. And what happens when the Word quits being declared? People perish. People perish. That is the meaning of the text. That contrasting conjunction but defines what that vision is. The latter part of that verse talked about the law. The first part of the verse has to talk about the law then. And it's the contrasting factor. The last part of the verse, if you keep the law, then you're happy. First part of the verse, you don't keep the law, you will not be happy. So without a vision, the people perish. Therefore, one other thing before we notice a few considerations before we close. This is still universal in scope. In the last part of the verse, I said it was a general application. He that. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're at around the world. He that. Well, what does he say in the first part? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter your financial status. The people. Doesn't matter your nationality or anything like that. Still universal in scope, isn't it? Without a vision, the people perish. It's a universal principle all around the world. To any people, anywhere. So what does this mean for us as we look at this verse? Let's read it in the correct order, even though I've done it backwards and read it in an inverted sense. One more time before we consider a few thoughts here. Read the verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Consider, first of all, that it is a blessing to have access to God's Word. Never, never ever take for granted the opportunity to have the Word of God. And the blessing it is to have it in your own language. If you know anything about history whatsoever, you know that there's a period in the history of the world called the Dark Ages. Do you know why it was called the Dark Ages? Because people were in the dark. Do you know why they were in the dark? Because the Catholic Church had chosen to keep the Word in Latin. And so it was not in the common vernacular of the people. And so as the priests stood up and they read the Latin and they preached in Latin, they spoke in Latin, the people got nothing from the Word of God for hundreds of years. And what happened is it thrust the entire world into a generation after generation of darkness. And so the historians will tell you these are the Dark Ages. And when the Word of God started to be translated into the language of the common people, then you have the time of the Enlightenment and the Reformation, because now the Word of God was starting to get out and people could hear and respond. You see, without a vision, the people perish. And so it is a blessing to have the Word of God. I fear that one of these days they're going to keep it from us. And what Word of God we have is what will be in our memory. It's a blessing to have the Word of God. Secondly, I would consider that it is more than possessing the Word. More than a simple possession. I'm going to make a quick reference over to the book of James. Let me read to you one verse. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You can possess the word and never do. Never do. Most people possess a copy of the Word of God. Do they read it? Well, that's a different story. Do they hear it preached? Some do, some do not. But nearly in every home in America, you're going to find somewhere a copy of the Word of God. They have a possession of it. It's readily available. You can get access through the internet. You can listen to the radio. You can hear it preached and taught on the TV. You can go down to any bookstore and buy a copy. There are churches on every corner where the Word of God is supposed to be being proclaimed. There is complete access to the Word of God within our society, and yet there's a famine of the Word. People, they possess it. They have the opportunity. But it's more than just a possession of it. There must be a response to it. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. For you to have the Word of God sitting on your shelf and you never pick it up, it's not benefiting you. Remember, without a vision, the people perish. It's negative if you don't apply the Word of God. And so I submit unto you as you turn to Psalm 119, if you desire to. It's just one verse, a simple verse, but I'm going to quote it to you if you don't choose to turn. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, I would submit that not only must we possess the Word, but it's more than a possession. The Word must be applied. We just stated that. In fact, Psalm 119, 11, the psalmist writes and he says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." And what that is the psalmist said, "I have set my affection upon Your Word, that I will be obedient." I will be obedient. "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." So when I think about the preciousness of the Word of God, it's a great blessing to have the Word of God, but it's more than just a simple possession. The Word of God must be applied. Therefore, I would say unto you, it is a sad thing to be deprived of the Word. I would hate it very much if our society said, no more Bibles and no more preaching. You can't even talk about the Bible. Can they get there? They are headed that way. What a sad thing to be deprived of the Word. Put yourself back, though, those hundreds of years into the Dark Ages when they went to the churches and heard it in a language they did not understand or comprehend. They didn't have any hope whatsoever. What a sad thing to be deprived of the Word. Now let me ask you, if that be true, and without a vision, when God said, "I'll send a famine upon the land," what a terrible situation to be in. Without a vision. It's a sad thing to be deprived of the Word, but my friend, why would you then do so willingly? This house could be filled if people would desire the Word. But there's just a lot of people that don't care about the Word. Now, I'm not saying that people that aren't here don't have a care. There are obligations and responsibilities. We all understand that. But you also understand what I am implying from the statement. There are multitudes who never darken the door of a church. They do not care for the things of God. They professing Christians willingly absolve themselves from the Word. Without a vision, the people perish. It's a negative thing not to have the Word. You purposely neglect the book. Why would you do so? I would encourage you to do otherwise. I would encourage you to set aside some time to invest in the Word of God. That's what I learned from this verse. I also learned that the consequence of not hearing is tragic. I mentioned it to you before, but Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." People all around the world, if they never hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, will die and go to hell. The revelation of the general revelation, that which is in the creation, is sufficient to condemn, but it is not sufficient to save. And so it is indeed our responsibility, obligation to tell others about Jesus Christ, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if we will not share the Word with them, they will not hear it. Then they have no vision, and if they have no vision, they will perish. They must hear the Word. How tragic it is for people who never heard the Word. I'm glad I've heard Aren't you glad you've heard? What a grand privilege we have, still yet in this country, to come together and hear the Word of God preached without constraint. That's a great blessing. Great blessing. Turn, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 3. Not only is there a great consequence in not hearing, sometimes the watchman is silent. They don't tell. And some of what we see in our society are people who water down the Word of God, who distort the Word of God, and though in appearance they may be proclaiming the Word of God, they are really silent on the things of God. And I submit unto you that the watchman, if he does not speak, and if we do not share, and we cause others to not have the vision or do not have the Word of God, and they will perish in that condition, just remember that the watchman is accountable when he is silent. A proof of this is in Ezekiel chapter 3, of verse 17 and verse 18, where he says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth," there's the vision, "and give them warning from me." So when the prophet of God had a word of God, they were to declare that word. And he says in verse 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." And that simply means without a vision, the people perish because they do not hear the word. They do not get the warning. The verse is true, but in the same breath, the watchman, if he does not speak, then he is accountable for keeping the word from those who should hear. We look at our text and we find then that happiness belongs to those who hear and respond. I would encourage you, love the Word. Learn the Word and live the Word. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you've chosen to come to the house of the Lord to hear the Word of God spoken to you. And if you will hear and if you will respond, Solomon said that you will be happy. Happy. Turn, if you would, to the 19th Psalm. And I close with this verse. I will come back and read the text in closing as a final emphasis. But you've heard my expounding of the text and the application of the text. And I close with a simple statement from the Word of God, whose vision we have and we can share it. Let it speak to your heart. Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Well, that's what David said. And Solomon, his son, says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Without the word, without the word. That's what Solomon is talking about. And so may we find application. And may God give us a great yearning for his word. To learn it, to love it, and to live it. Let's stand. God, again, we thank you for the day and for the many blessings, and thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that you just root it into our hearts by your Spirit and draw us to you. Forgive us where we fall short. Cause us to love you. Cause us to love your word. Let us study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we pray it in Jesus' name and amen.